New Delhi Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, got a beautiful yarn there with Gillian Moody. Gillian Moody is Senior Manager, Indigenous Connection, NFSA, and that's the National Film and Sound Archive. We're talking about a new digital access studio in Alice Springs that will provide unprecedented access for traditional owners to the language, stories and ceremonies of their communities. With that, a very good morning, Gillian. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Good morning to you too.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Gillian?
I'm actually based in Sydney, in our Sydney office there, but the NFSA's main office is based down in Canberra.
In Canberra, all right, fantastic. Now, thanks to NFSA, a new studio built, located at the Strello Research Centre?
It's called the Strello Research Centre.
Strello Research Centre, and that's in the Museum of Central Australia in Alice Springs. Opening
That's
up traditional owners of Central Australia communities with digital access to the film and audio recordings contained in the unique Strello collection. So, look, a fantastic platform. Can you educate us about that space there, please?
Yeah, sure. Look, I'm really lucky that I've actually come on to the final sort of stages of this project. It was a 4-year sort of project that was between the National Film and Sound Archive and the Strello Research Centre. And it was a specially designed, co-designed project with traditional owners from up in Alice Springs to be able to digitise the collection of film and audio recordings from within the Strello collection. Mm-hmm. The Strello collection is one of the biggest collections of ceremonial life in the world. Mm-hmm. And we've been lucky enough at the National Film and Sound Archives to be able to collaborate with the traditional owners and the Strello Research Centre to digitise that material.
Fantastic. Look, we're talking about the longest living culture on planet Earth, and we are living in the 21st century. So here's Digital Access Studio that's been built. Fantastic. And joining the two forces together, traditional owners are able to venture in to check out language, stories and ceremonies and also share. Is it open to the public as such, Gillian?
It's not open to the public. The access studio was specifically designed so that the traditional owners could be able to engage with the material that has been digitised. So there was about 400 reels of film and about 1,000 audio recordings that have all been now digitised and preserved, mm-hmm. and they are made available here up in Alice Springs, where the traditional owners can come in. And I must say, though, that it is majority of the material is actually men's only sacred secret. Okay. There's only a small amount that is actually secular. And so, you know, I feel very honoured to be able to speak about this project.
Yes.
I've been given the go-ahead from the men involved up here at the Strello Centre to be
protocol.
Able to talk about it.
Protocol.
Protocol there, that's right. I was very nervous about talking about it without that permission from them. So I feel very
honoured. So you're not Indigenous, First Nation?
Oh, no, I'm Indigenous. I'm from New South Wales.
So thank you. And who are you, Mob?
I'm from Wreck Bay community.
Okay.
So my bloodlines are Wadi Wadi. Yeah.
Okay. And the fact that you're female, talking about a male space, and there's the
That's
respect,
right.
and there's the communication, and there's the protocol, and the permission to do so. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, and as I said, you know, I've been in my position now for about 10 months.
Okay.
And so I've sort of inherited this project in that new job,
beautiful.
And it's been an amazing project that had this really wonderful co-design, as I talked about.
Mm.
The traditional men came down to Canberra back in 2019, and they set up a men's working group within the National Film and Sound Archive, again, for protocol.
Mm.
And then those men were the only men that were actually allowed to work on the project. So they were the only men who were able to handle the original films and
yes.
the audio, which was like reel-to-reel audio, lacquer and wire recordings. So that working group were the only men allowed to actually see it, sight it, or hear it. We had a really great system in place where they they built two or set up two studio spaces that were restricted for only for the use of these digitisation of these materials. So the NFSA, you know, really took on making sure that that was done culturally in a culturally safe way. And so it's been a really, you know, I think it's been an amazing achievement.
Yeah, well, fantastic. And look, I've got goosebumps here. Look, a beautiful platform. And if you look at such a platform, this could be templated across the country in regard to the 250 tribal people we have.
Absolutely, that's right. And I mean, that's what we would love to be able to do again at the NFSA is to to, you know, look through our collection there and also look at partnering up and doing other co-design projects likewise like this one.
Fantastic. What about the actual digital access studio? Employment of First Nation people, is that an opportunity?
Yeah, look, the Strelo Research Centre actually has some Aboriginal liaisons here. And they manage the studio. They work with the traditional men when they want to come in and view any of the material, and they sit in there and they run the machines for them. So, yeah, it's a really great opportunity for the heritage officers here at Strelo Centre to be, you know, engaging with the communities as well.
So it's a protective work as well. And as you said, for your eyes only, we're talking about a men's business, and we're talking about men from Central Australia, tribal people of that area, traditional owners. So it's really protected, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And the great thing about the Australia Centre actually deposited all of that material, I think I said at the beginning, back in 1990. So it's been with the National Film and Sound Archive for many years now.
Yes.
And by depositing it in our centre down in Canberra there, it means that it's preserved. It's kept in, you know, environmentally climate-controlled vaults. Mm. But it's also, because of the protocols, it's also kept in a very separate locked vault on its own, so that no one, like, so I can't stumble across it, for example, and only those who have authority can actually access it.
That's beautiful, fantastic. Well, I've done it so well in regard to the protocol and the respect way of doing things. So fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing, Gillian. And so you're based down in Canberra, are you?
No, I'm based in Sydney.
Oh, based in Sydney.
Yeah, there's about 30 of us that work out of Sydney.
And so you'll be there for the opening, Alice Springs?
I will be. I'll be up in Alice Springs for the opening tomorrow. I'm very excited.
Lovely, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing. And look, thumbs up. I think it's fantastic. Please do keep in touch. And look, congratulations to traditional owners out in Alice Springs and keeping the language, story, ceremonies alive. That's what it's all about.
That's
and thank you very much for sharing. Gillian, you take care, sister.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there. Gillian Moody, Senior Manager, Indigenous Connection, NFSA, acronym for National Film and Sound Archive, and talking about a new digital access studio in Alice Springs that will provide unprecedented access for traditional owners to the language, stories and ceremonies of their communities. And a lot of information is the men's business. So great. And Gillian was so honoured to be, as a First Nation woman, to have access for communication in regard to that space, and the traditional owners, the men, gave her permission to do so. Fantastic. To Delhi, Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Check out our webpage, our Facebook page, and also call us. You can call us on that number, 1-800-422-416. To Delhi.
Are you dumb? Are you dumb? Are you dumb? The dumb, 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 dumb. funk sound from the east to the west. Yeah, funk this. It's when the crowd spits to this, to this, to this. Yeah, funk this. Yeah, funk this. I heard the comma share real shit on the lick back. Pod popper looking for a 501 nick. Nah, keep it getting there. Tell the D-bag that I miss him. D-bag and kiss him. He ain't my man. Only good for that. He's screaming now. STO. I'm the wicked survive. He making that bank, but you still get declined. Chicken I won, then feathers next. Though, keep my foot on the next. Rule one after the manifest out, huh? Booty position. You wanna get down to the G-Funk sound.
Are you dumb? Are you dumb? Are you dumb? The dumb, dumb, dumb.
The dumb, dumb, dumb. Can't match my existence. I'm pulling plates up in the kitchen. Hungry with this ambition. So sit back, relax, shut your mouth. Stay out women's business while I bring the G-Funk sound for these ghetto booty position. When the queen spits to this, to this, to this. Yeah, fuck this, yeah, fuck this. When the queen spits to this, to this, to this. Yeah, fuck this. Booty position, wanna get down to the G-Funk sound. From the east to the west, yeah, fuck this. Yeah, fuck this. When the queen spits to this, to this, to this. Yeah, fuck this.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumper Bit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, First Nation designers announced to take part in their iconic FNFD Incubator program. That's the First Nations Fashion and Design. And look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister, entrepreneur, businesswoman, Alrina Johnson from Yarrabah. Alrina, very good morning, sister. How are you?
Well, good morning, Trev. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Hey, Wanjira. I'm Alvarina Johnson from Yarrabah. I'm Merga Johnson. I'm Kunganji woman and Idinji on my grandmother's side, Wallaburra. And, I'm talking to you here with Trev from Yarri.
Too deadly, my sister. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations. You are a kicking goals entrepreneur with the work that you're doing. So paint the picture in regarding the work that you have done. Alvarina, artist / designer. Is that the format?
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I've been in the multidisciplinary artist space for a long time as a performer as well. So,
yes.
But holistically under the whole umbrella as a creative.
And so I've got a new label coming as well, Pink Fish. Talk to us about that, sister.
Yes, Pink Fish by Alvarina is a new fashion label that I'll be bringing out, launching as an independent designer. And, yeah, just looking forward to getting all of that sort of established and through the First Nations Fashion Incubator Program.
Yes.
Is pretty much the platform I think I will use to do that.
Good, it's fantastic. Really good. Yes, yes, yes. Let's quickly talk about the FNFD, First Nations Fashion and Design. They're a fantastic organisation in supporting First Nation people in the fashion and in the design work. Would you agree?
Definitely. I think First Nations Fashion Design has been, you know, pretty much establish itself as a, you know, as an iconic brand in itself in terms of supporting First Nations fashion designers and models, and through you know, fashion design shows that have been put on over the years through the Grace Lillian Lee production, which is you know, doing amazing work in this space.
So for any up-and-coming artist or designer, would they need to become like a member of FNFD? Is that right? How does that work?
Yes, you would need to become a member of First Nations Fashion Design. It is a non-for-profit organisation, so, you know, people want to become a member, they can pretty much give them a call, make contact with them and let them know.
And they help promote your work, don't they?
They do help promote your work and also, you know, give opportunities to become part of a bigger platform.
Yes.
Which is what they've pretty much been doing, supporting, you know, myself and a few other designers. And as you've seen, myself and Jara, we with Brianna Enoch and...
Big shout out, Brianna, yes, fantastic, yes.
We've just been announced as the three Queensland designers that have become part of the inaugural FNFD incubator program with the Iconic. So
fantastic.
We just spent a week in Sydney as part of that program doing our first lot of mentorship with established designers in the space. So we've been linked up and matched up with quite a few major brand names to help us to develop our brands, really.
Exactly. Look, a prime example of the work that you've done have opened up doors in the business world. Give us a quick background regarding Myers Center and the work that you're doing there with those guys as a joint venture.
Well, I've been with Taking Shape, clothing store.
Yes.
Fits with under the Maya group. And I've been, this is my second year.
Good.
Second collection that has come out this year for the Taking Shape range. And I've got a 3-year contract and, hoping to have a bit more
expand that contract. Exactly.
It's been an amazing experience with Taking Shape.
And
you know, this
journey.
Is the first time that they've ever done this.
Yes.
And so it's been a really good collaboration and a learning time for both them and me. But getting a lot of support from, I've just been overwhelmed with the support nationally, with the collection that's come out and, you know, people going along to launches and also even offering themselves to be, to help with the launches and to be models and, you know, Indigenous and non-Indigenous people who,
Look, sister, we're so proud of you and we congratulate you, but it just shows, and the probably message that you could deliver there, and you probably do, is to young up-and-coming artists, look up, because you don't know what's around the corner. I mean, when you first started your artwork, you didn't think of Myers Center around this country and you know, a national center as such, you know, retail shops, that you'd be your work would be there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with a passion.
It does.
To want to tell your story, but also just think big and go beyond that. Don't just stay comfortable on that one level.
Exactly.
You know what? And one of my personal philosophy, because I love fishing, and a lot of my work is around fishing and the rainforest and bright colors. So one of my personal mottos and philosophy is to cast your net, because I cast
your net. I love that. Beautiful, sister. Yes.
Everything that I do is about me casting my net in a philosophical manner and just it's all about having a go.
Exactly.
Doubt yourself. And if it doesn't work one way, well, you try somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. And you're proven success of that. Yes. Fantastic. And so the Pink Fish, the next new label coming out, when will that come out, sister?
Well, we know that through the incubator program, sort of at the end of this program, which I think would be in maybe November roundabout, where we will have our, well, I know that's where I'll be launching the Pink Fish by Alvarina.
Good.
Brand as a showcasing
For people to see your works, is your web page, or have you got a Facebook page? Or
Haven't got a web page yet. So they're the things that I'm like still working on.
Okay.
You know, just to make sure that I get it right. I'm always a believer in not sort of rushing stuff, but just taking things at a pace. I've actually got my son working on my web page at
the moment. Dot the I's, cross the T's, so to speak.
You know, just you just sort of want to be conscious as you walk on your journey.
Yeah. Have you got any artwork on your Facebook page? Are you happy to share that? Or
I've got go on to Melvina Johnson artist Facebook page, and also my Instagram page, which comes under Yarraba.
Good. Okay, fantastic. And also, people can check it. Has FNFD, First Nations Fashion Design, have they got a web page?
Yeah, you can go onto First Nations Fashion Design website and Instagram page.
Yes.
They often post updates about what's happening.
Good.
Massive congratulations also to Brianna Enoch and from Jarawi, and also Merida. The beautiful sisters from Mount Isa, who were also selected to be part of the FNFD Iconic Incubator Program.
Yeah, big shout out to those two beautiful sisters as well. Alvarina, thank you for your yarn. Yeah, sister, you going to say something? Sorry?
All Queenslanders?
Yeah, all Queenslanders, yes. Represent.
Yeah.
My darling, thank you for the yarn. Congratulations. Looking forward to seeing your label, Pink Fish, when it comes out. Please do keep in touch and keep doing what you do, my sister. So proud of you.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor.
Take care, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there with our First Nation artist and designer. That's Alvarina Johnson, and Gurganji woman there. And she's got a new label coming out, Pink Fish. But do check out her web page, her Facebook page, that is, Alvarina Johnson, Yarraba Indigenous Artist, and also check out FNFD, that's the First Nations Fashion Design. Check out their web page and also their Facebook page as well. And see all the different work. Congratulations to Merida, as well as to Brianna Enoch, Jarawi, and Merida, who's a Man Isa girl, so too deadly, represent. And as Alvarina says, Queensland, in more ways than one. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Enter the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, you know who it be.
You know,
baby, bear the dawn.
It's all but this time.
Jimmy
C.N.S.
This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broke, and if I left, no one would even know me. This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broke, and if I left, no one would even know me.
This time I'ma make a difference. What you heard is what you're hearing.
True.
Everybody doubted me, you didn't believe in my dreams, saying you will never make it, making me lose faith in everything. How could I do what I gotta do when everybody's still hating? I'm losing my friends, it's a doggy dog world out here. I know it's not fair, I need to get things off my chest to make it clear before I lose it and disappear. I know my options are open, where did I fail? Had thoughts of losing this battle, got me losing my mind, man. When will my life set sail? Praying for better days, knowing things will never change, yet it still remains the same. Am I forgiven for the stuff that I done? Affecting the people around me, even my loved ones. I'ma promise I'ma change in time, not knowing when, but I'll never lie. It'll get better with time.
This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broke, and if I left, no one would even know me. This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. This time I feel broke, and if I left, no one would even know me.
This time I'ma strategize and make moves, hoping to elevate my situation I'm in. Sick of being broken, feeling down.
True.
When will I learn from the mistakes that I've made now? Time to come alive and open my eyes and realize who the fuck is gonna stop me. No one wise, 'cause I'm alone in this world, trying to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do now. Please God guide me, show me a sign from above. Need your help cause it feels like my life is fucked up. From all the stress and pain, feels like I'm playing a different game compared to one another, but it's still all the same. All I'm asking for is a change in direction, cause I feel lost and confused from all these fucked up distractions. True, show me the passage and I shall pass the message on. Yeah, who else can I depend on? Thanks for the life lessons.
Time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. Time I feel broken. If I left, no one would even know me. This time I feel lost in a world so cold and so lonely. Time I feel broken. If I left, no one would even know me.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Let's take this opportunity to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, yarn up strong. I'm going to jump straight into it. And look, we got the up-and-coming Australian Pacific First Nations Climate Justice Workshop Program happening here in Cairns on the 27th, 28th of April. And that's hosted by EROF. EROF is Eastern Regional Organisation for Planning and Human Settlements, Australian Chapter. Look, with that win, catch up a yarn there with Dilly, cousin sister, and we got Sandy Taylor on the line. Sandy, very good morning, sister. How are you?
Hey, hello. How are you going, Trevor?
I'm well, sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Okay, my name is Sandy Taylor. I'm a bush girl from I'm from out northwest Queensland, so all my mob are Caltadoon and Nowlin and Jurundali people.
Beautiful, so, deadly footprint, yes.
All that deadly.
We got connection there, my sister. We got connection.
We got connection for sure, yes.
Darling, thank you for coming to the program. Now, regarding this up-and-coming conference, Australian and Pacific First Nations Climate Justice Workshop Program, what's the hat that you wear with this up-and-coming conference?
Okay, the hat I wear is I'm a local member of EROF, here based in Cairns. So EROF is an acronym, and it stands for the Eastern Regional Organisation for Planning and Human Settlement. And it's quite a mouthful, but EROF is a UN-registered peak body for the Asia-Pacific region, and we've got chapters in 8 countries. So we have an international network. But those countries are scattered all around the world, such as Nepal, South Korea, Japan, Malaysia, Indonesia, Pakistan, here in Australia, and just recently we've established a chapter over in the Pacific Islands. So I'm just a local member, and we have it's only a small chapter here in Australia. We have about 30 to 35 members of EROF.
But an important chapter, it becomes Indigenous lens focused, isn't it?
Well, definitely. With this workshop, brother, the whole aim of hosting this workshop is to bring together all of our First Nation land and sea traditional owners and custodians of land and sea country in the footprint of the Torres Strait, the Cape, and far north Queensland, down to as far as Girigan country, Cardwell. So we've reached out to specifically invite our mob who are doing fantastic, tremendous work on their land and sea country.
Sure.
And we're really looking forward to their input because we want to hear from them all the amazing work that they're doing. But we also have invited some Pacific Islands small nation reps because we also acknowledge they're experiencing the same challenges and problems associated with climate change and climate mitigation and adaptation. For example, sea levels rising. Levels rising over there, here, the heating of the oceans, the heating of land, all that type of thing, the salt water, because of the sea coming in and the sea surges, it's creating obviously problems for the crops to grow.
Mm.
So we also want to yarn up at this two-day workshop those common problems, but also the resilience and the innovative way of our First Nations people, what they're doing to deal with that, to mitigate that in a way that they can sustain and keep going.
Yeah. And at this two-day conference, there's yarning circles, and there we have those conversations and with our brothers and sisters abroad going through the same situation. But we are talking about looking after country, looking after people on country, and this becomes, pardon the pun, but a voice for our mob in this space, does it not?
Yes. Yes, it's definitely about a voice. And so these yarning circles, we're going to be having, as co-facilitators, we will have Indigenous and non-Indigenous co-facilitators.
Yep, yep.
Who are working in the space, whether it's around the blue economy, whether it's around Indigenous land use agreements or marine treaties such as TUMRAs,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's to do with carbon decarbonisation,
mining, or all the above.
We even have EDO, the Environmental Defenders Office, coming. They'll be letting us know of the amazing legal advocacy work that EDO is doing with our people.
Mm.
And we'll also be talking about just around the cultural sovereignty issues.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, at the end of all of these yarning circles across those 2 days,
mm.
We hope that we can also develop in agreement, even if it's in principle, brother,
hmm.
this idea of developing a climate justice charter. And that charter, we will then, not myself, but other EROF members, will take that draft charter to a Pacific Urban Forum in Fiji in August.
Yes.
For further yarning up there with our Pacific Island brothers and sisters.
Mm.
That charter then will go on to a World Urban Forum, which EROF is part of. And then because we have this link with the UN Habitat, with the UN, we then hope that it will go through them onto COP28 in Dubai.
And so Climate Australia, climate change here in Australia, they're well aware of these yarning circles that First Nation people are having at this two-day conference?
Yes, we've invited the EROF members in Australia to attend the workshop.
Good.
They will be the scribes. We'll give them an active role to scribe for each yarning circle.
Good.
And we will also have an AGM at the end. On the Saturday after the workshop is concluded, there will be an AGM of the EROF members and also an opportunity for them to spend a little bit of time in Cairns and just chill and relax before they go back to their respective homes around the countryside.
How often do First Nation people catch up with these yarning circles? Is this the first of its kind or is this an annual event?
No, this is the first time EROF has actually come to this part of this beautiful country.
Yes.
Where we want to certainly reach out and listen and talk and interact and hear the voices of our people. So this is a groundbreaking opportunity.
Yes.
For our people to then feed into this EROF international network.
Yes.
And we've got some amazing cultural participants from our mob coming to the workshop, but we're also are still wanting a lot of our people to register,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really looking forward to seeing those registrations coming in, particularly from our remote communities. But if they can't get here, we will have Zoom.
Okay,
Rodia. We'll have Zoom opportunities where our mob can plug into the Zooms and still interact.
So, well, let's talk registration. How do people register? I mean, is it open?
Okay.
Yep.
So there is an Eventbrite website where they register, and it's $200 to register.
Mm-hmm.
And also part of that registration is Also, there will be podcasts, a little podcast studio on site, and we also have exhibitors, some exhibitors from our sponsors. They will have a stall there, and there will also be an opportunity for a cultural night or a social night on Thursday night to do that socialising and networking with all of our participants.
Yes.
But we do hope to... But 95% finalised the program, Trevor, so we're hoping to send that back out to all of our invitees later on today, and they will get a full appreciation of who's talking on the program, what those yarning circles look like in more detail.
Yes.
Because those yarning circles, they're sort of concurrent, so... You've got about 9 yarning circles on day one, and they vary around cultural sovereignty, legal advocacy. We hope to have a Torres Strait Islander, Torres Strait 8 representative coming down, and if we can't, we're going to be organising Zoom meetings, a Zoom opportunity there. But so the participants will have a chance, an opportunity to pick which yarning circle interests them.
Sure.
And then there's also just the informality of those yarning circles where people can then move on to other yarning circles.
Look, a very, very important platform, my sister. I don't know how many times we have yarns on National Talk Black about the rising of the seas, especially our Torres Strait Island brothers and sisters. You know, they're screaming for sea walls and what have you. So it's good that we've got a focus here and got a yarning circle that needs to be had. So this is very important, and I think it's thumbs up. Congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you. And we hope with the yarning circles, that's where the voices will come through, and it's in any way that our people want to be able to express themselves, they're the ones we want to recognise that are doing the hard commitment work on land and sea country.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that this climate crisis is just moving so quickly.
Yes.
And whilst we acknowledge that there are things that the government is doing to support climate change and mitigation, we also know that it needs to be possibly accelerated.
Mm.
We do have Senator Nita Green, who is the special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef. She will be officially opening the meeting, but unfortunately, she's just let us know she can't be there in person, but we will do a virtual presentation.
Okay.
And I think with her wearing her hat as the special envoy for the reef and also the Senator of Queensland, we're very appreciative of her doing this for us.
Yes.
And she's just come back from the reef the other day, taking out the US Ambassador Caroline Kennedy out to look at the reef.
Okay.
And to see for herself the quality of the reef and the good and the bad.
The good and the bad, yes, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to Senator Green's opportunity there to officiate. And we also have the International IROF Secretary General, who will also be attending, and she's going to be also officiating and representing that international aspect.
Good.
And her name is Mazrina.
Mazrina. Okay,
and
fantastic.
She's based in Malaysia. So it's good to have that sort of international sort of opportunity and overview that she can bring into the circle also.
Now, you're talking about the registration webpage as such. For people who can't make it but want to do the Zoom, they still need to register, don't they?
Yes, they still need to register. And what I can do is with that information, because we've got it sitting on our flyers that we sent out, we do have that contact. So just to give it to you again,
yes,
if people are interested in registering and want to know more about the process, and like I said, it's all on Eventbrite, but if they would like to email EAROPH, EAROPH.
EAROPH.
Yeah. Dot AU.
Dot AU.
At gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
.au, which stands for Australia. So that's all lowercase.
Okay.
Eros.au@gmail.com. If they email to there,
yes,
they that person can then, Alicia can then obviously reply and let people know more about the event. Bright web registration process. Unfortunately, because of limited funds, we were really hoping to sponsor some of our mobs to come, and unfortunately, that sponsorship opportunity wasn't met.
Hence the $200 per delegate.
Yeah, and okay. So that's why we're having to ask for the 200.
Well, it's not an expense, it's an investment, isn't it, Sister Sandy?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely,
yes,
of course. Look after our country, our people, you know? Yeah, on a global scale, yeah. Mother Earth, we're talking here.
We are, and we're all interconnected. And that voice of interconnection is best made and echoed because of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders land and sea traditional owners that are doing all this great work. I just wish we could be able to. I really feel this will be a very positive workshop.
Yes.
And I really hope that we can obtain more funds to run it across other regions. For our mob, but we'll see how we go.
The old saying, beginning's half done, you know what I mean? And we create a movement as such, and then the government's got to look at it and invest in it, and a very important space, because we are talking about the same earth they live on, do they not?
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
One
and,
earth.
And it's a legacy thing. I mean, it's about the future for our children and our children's children and so on. And surely, with the all the cultural knowledge systems that our people have used and practiced and applied and know are doing it right now and have been doing it for years, surely that means something and it will be valued. So this is an opportunity to come to this workshop at the Seville, most beautiful park there at the foothills there at Earlville, yarn this up, and yarn it up in a way where some of that gems of that wisdom gets rolled up into this climate justice charter.
Yes.
And that charter then hopefully will get bigger and bigger and stronger as a charter. And then sitting there through that COP28 process and then still get growing again. Like, for example, with the sea levels rising and we're very keen to hear from the Torres Strait reps.
Yes.
And we're keen to hear how they're getting a reply from the Australian government from their magnificent advocacy to the UN. So we're really keen to hear what is the latest update on that. And we're also keen to hear from Pacific Island nations such as Tuvalu, where they're actually right now planning to do a digital mapping of their country, because in the next few years their whole country or that island will be underwater.
Will not be there, exactly.
They won't be there. So
the stream now for support, help, exactly. And what, global climate is real. That's the statement, isn't it?
It is. It's real and it's impacting in so many different ways, and it's impacting in such a way that the quality of people's lives and even losing their home, and it really needs to be brought home in a very strong, forceful way, but in a dignified way that only we as First Nations people can say them things. And again, we're very keen to, again, thank you for letting me talk to you today.
Oh, good, yes.
Yeah, through BBM, it just gets the word out, and we look forward to having such.
Well, I'd love to have a chat with you next week after the event and get the feedback, and also I know chat to some of the keynote speakers who will be attending the 2-day conference, Sister.
Oh, that would be lovely, and we're also, I'm picking up somebody this evening from the airport. So they're going to be arriving as of tomorrow. And come rain, hail or shine, we will still
have the yarning circles. They're going to be had.
We're going to have the yarning circles.
My sister, thank you.
And look, before we go, can I just give a shout out to all of the fantastic sponsors that have come forward and helped us and realise how important this workshop is. And I'd love to give a shout out to all of those sponsors. And we've got over 15 sponsors just from the local area and elsewhere.
Good.
And we will be, as I said, we will be sending out the program that's is 95% finalised.
Good.
And we'll be sending that out later on to our invitees. And we still want to encourage registrations. So people listening, if you are passionate about climate change and how to deal with it and how to deal with it individually or as collectively through your own log, please register. Go to eros.au@gmail.com to find out more information about the registrations. And we will also be then going back to all our invited people that have so far registered to send them the program. And it's predominantly it is First Nations that we're inviting. So we also work in allyship with non-Indigenous
folks. Sure.
Yeah, so and let's work together. It's one planet. It's one, you know, we live in the most beautiful part of Australia.
Yes.
So we really want to see the people, like-minded people, and sitting there and being part of those yarning circles and contributing. So, thank you.
Sister, I thank you so very much. I'm Dilly Yarning with you. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch, and good luck with it all. And we'll talk soon, Sandy.
Okay.
Thanks, Dar. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn, Sandy Taylor there. She's a member of EROF, and that's the Eastern Regional Organisation for Planning and Human Settlements, Australia chapter, that is.